Are you looking to optimize your mindset and lifestyle for success in today's business world? You're in the right place. This is where you get to build your freedom through promoting through Facebook and selling on Amazon. Welcome to Actualize Freedom with your hosts, Wilson and Danny.
This is Actualize Freedom, the no bullshit podcast for hacking your freedom through selling on Amazon and lifestyle optimization. My name is Danny Carlson.
And my name is Wilson Lee. Today we're going to be sharing with you the communication with Alibaba. How do you actually communicate with them? What are some of the set questions that we use that is super effective and the potential pitfalls? Just a little reminder, the show notes can be found at actualizefreedom.com/7. So if you don't want to take notes, definitely just go there, get all your notes.
Okay, so a few really quick guidelines when you're communicating with suppliers on Alibaba. You know, treat them like you would like to be treated. You know, they're not just some little, you know, computer that's on the other end. That's a real human being. You know, treat them with some respect. And when you're reaching out, you don't need to go in depth of, you know, who you are, how many dogs are in your family, or where you work. You know, just a brief little description of your company. And, you know, you want to be kind of shown as a big company, but brief description is good. And also just a brief message, basically, that you're interested in a certain product and you're requesting some specific information.
I personally like to start off with a set of questions. I don't like going asking one question at a time, mainly because, you know, these suppliers, they are overseas. There's a time zone difference. Like if it's morning at our time, it's nighttime in their time, you know. So the communication can easily suck up weeks of your time if you're not efficient with it. And that's the reason why I have a set of questions that I ask. And these are the questions that would allow me to make a decision. You know, I start off with asking, what products, features do you have with your product and whatnot? And what are the some of the pricing per unit? For example, like MOQ of 500 to 1,000. You know, test the supplier out. Even though you may not be ordering the quantity of 500 or even 1,000, let them know that you're serious and not just someone who's just wanting to buy one item at a steep discount. I also ask about the total cost with packaging. You know, a lot of times you don't want to be caught off guard with not knowing the packaging cost and the printing cost and whatnot. You know, I also like to ask, do they have any other reference pictures of the products? Because I want to be able to evaluate their products and be able to compare different suppliers side by side. So if there's more reference pictures, that allows me to make better decision. What are some of the other questions that you have, Dan?
Another really important one is, you know, what is the production and delivery time, otherwise known as the lead time? So this is really important because if the lead time is really long and your product is going out of stock in Amazon, let's say it's selling like twice as fast as you thought, then that means you can be out of stock for a long time. And that's a big no-no on Amazon as far as ranking. And, you know, if you're out of stock, you're not making any money, obviously. So shorter lead times are better. Typically 20 days or a month is the longest I'd like to go for. And, you know, what is their accepted method of payment? So we talked in one of the earlier episodes about Alibaba trade assurance. Ask them if they take trade assurance, because that is the safest, our preferred method of actually paying the suppliers. You know, you don't want to be sending them Western Union or something like that. If they only accept Western Union, that's a red flag that there's some scam artist or something like that.
For sure.
Ask them the cost of a sample and if there's an additional fee for it. A lot of them will give you a free sample, but you want to demonstrate that you're willing to pay that fee, because it's a big red flag for them if you're asking for free samples, because a lot of people on Alibaba are just some dude sitting in his basement in his underwear just trying to get some free samples off these suppliers. So, and typically speaking, shipping for a product to range anywhere from $30 or $40. So, you know, prepare for this price. You know, I mean, a typical price, you know, all included is going to be like, you know, $50 to $100 for the sample and shipping price to get it over to you. I wouldn't hassle them on this too much. You know, it's a cost of doing business, and it shows them that you're serious too. You know, if you're unwilling to spend $100 to test out a business relationship that could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars, then it shows that you're not actually a serious company, right?
For sure. And I mean, like, at the end of the day, just be prepared to spend this money, right? Don't hassle for the few, like, $50 and whatnot, mainly because, you know, you're going to be investing thousands of dollars and inventory. And if you're not willing to spend the $200-$300 testing out different suppliers and looking at the samples, then you're not ready for this business. You're not ready to order thousands of dollars of inventory moving forward, right? So being in the right mindset, knowing the fact that this will cost you and that this is essential of finding the right supplier. is very, very important. You know, don't let this be a reason for you not to engage in this process or not taking action and starting this business. You know, with any other business, like a brick and mortar business, same thing, right? You have your sunk costs, you have your equipment costs, you have, you know, you need to establish relationship with different suppliers and whatnot as well. Actually, the money that you're going to be risking is much more if you're running a brick and mortar business than an online business, you know. So building these relationships and paying for the sample is just part of the costs that you need to budget in when you decide to jump into an e-commerce business. You know, this template of questions that Danny and I created has served us quite well and has saved us a lot of time back and forth dealing with the suppliers and getting these info, because this set of questions, once we have the answers to this set of questions, it would allow us to compare suppliers side by side. And once we're able to compare them side by side, we would be able to know which suppliers to go with, right? So, I mean, if you guys want this set of questions, this template of questions that we have it ready for you to download at actualizefreedom.com/resources. So what is it that exactly that we look out for when we're dealing with samples or suppliers, Danny?
Yeah, so I mean, beyond just the product quality, like it's not just about the quality of the samples that the suppliers give you, because sometimes they'll just give you an amazing sample and a really crappy order after that. So you should also be looking for, you know, compare the prices as well, obviously, but some things a lot of people don't think about is how good is their English? You know, is your communication with them smooth, or are they misunderstanding a lot of things and, you know, leaving a lot of things out in responses and stuff like that. And another one is response time. Are they taking several days to get back to you every time? If they are, it's a good chance that they are, you know, either overworked, they're overloaded, and you probably don't want to work with them. You know, they're going to be late on your orders, and responding to them is going to take a long time. And like Wilson said, it's cutting down your time communicating can be worth a lot of money. Let's say that they take an extra day to respond every single time, and over the course of, you know, 7 to 20 interactions, that works out to 2 or 3 weeks. That's 2 or 3 weeks worth of sales that you missed out on. So if your product was selling, you know, let's say $20,000 a month, $10,000 a month, you had a really good product, then, you know, that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars just because your communication did not go smooth. Another thing is, you know, are they actually answering all of your questions? Let's say you have a list of 4 questions and they came back and they answered 3 of them or 2 of them, or they just like really, you know, they didn't understand it properly and they're kind of saying something totally different. That's a big red flag. And are they sketchy or are they upfront? You know, do they keep changing their mind on you? They say one thing and then, you know, 2 messages later, they're changing their mind. Oh, no, we didn't say that. No, like, you know, stuff like that. So you really want to, like, do they have integrity too? You know, are they an honest company?
That's a huge, huge thing. You know, like through my countless years of dealing with suppliers in China, the ones that actually allude to the question that you ask are the ones that you really need to look out for. You know, when you're super straightforward, you have set questions for them, it becomes very easy for them to answer your questions. But if they start eluding specific questions, that means that something is wrong. That means that there's something that they want to hide. You know, sometimes they may not, they might not just understand what you're asking. So that's okay if you can ask for clarification and whatnot. But if you ask the right question and they do understand it and they allude to your question, this is a huge red flag. And like 9 out of 10 times, the relationship is never good from my personal experience dealing with these suppliers. You know, if they are just not upfront with you with a simple, straightforward question, they're not going to be upfront with you when problems arise, when challenges arise. They would just try to use their way of overcoming the challenge. And majority of the time, it's the worst possible way.
Oh, absolutely. And a couple of really quick frameworks when you're communicating with these suppliers. Number your questions. This will increase the quality of your responses by quite a bit. I've heard from someone that in China, like when they're growing up in school, kids are taught to number their questions, and they really understand this a lot better. It's just easier to organize, and you'll get better responses this way. Another really good one is use pictures whenever possible. So I use a program called Snagit, where I can easily, you know, drag and drop a screenshot of something and then annotate it. So that just means I can like draw some arrows on there real quick or write some text or whatever. And this really helps cut through the language barrier, because, you know, a lot of these guys have pretty good English, but it's, you know, everyone understands an arrow pointing in a picture. It's much easier. It will cut down on the miscommunications a lot and really increase the quality of your responses.
Perfect. I mean, for us moving forward, you know, after the fact that you have reached out and confirmed your suppliers. You know, now it's time to evaluate the samples. And here's a list of questions that I'd like to ask. And it's something that I use as well. I actually tend to change it or actually set up in two phases of questions that I ask. These are batch questions. You know, having pictures and numbering them is super, super helpful when it comes to this stage. You know, we need to be able to choose an MOQ that we're comfortable with, which is a quantity that we're ordering. You know, so I'd start off with asking the price for that, and what is the container size and the weight? And this is for us to submit into FBA. What is the size and weight for each unit of the product and the mode of delivery, whether it be ship or air? How much would it be? You know, what is the lead time, like what Dan was saying? You know, the time of arrival from China all the way to the USA to the fulfillment center. How much time is it going to take? Because we need to be able to figure out the lead time, so then when it comes to replenishing our inventory, we would be able to be much more prepared for it. Like Danny was saying, it's the worst thing that can happen when you're out of stock. You know, Amazon does not like that.
Yeah, so a really common question a lot of people have too is about the shipping here. So, you know, you can obviously go hire your own shipping company. You can get it done for really cheap if you go and do all the paperwork yourself and try to figure it out yourself. But shipping, guys, is an insanely complex thing when you're crossing borders. Like, sea shipping is ridiculous. Like, the amount of paperwork it's such old, ancient, bad paperwork, and there's so much of it. If you don't do it for a living, like, I would not even try to do it. And honestly, you would, a lot of the time, be actually spending more money doing it yourself because all these shipping companies have such small profit margins. It's just worth it to pay them to figure it out. And Wilson touched on a really good point. A lot of the time, the easiest way is to just ask your supplier to figure out the shipping for you because they've been in business for a while. They have probably quite a few good shipping relationships with some companies in China. So they get really big bulk discounts with these companies. A lot of the time, they will actually be the ones to be able to give you the cheapest shipping rate. You should still definitely contact some freight forwarding companies that can take it from the manufacturer and, you know, get some quotes from them just to see how much they would cost. But always ask your manufacturer if they can figure it out for you and how much that would cost.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't worry. The list of questions that we've been asking and whatnot are all available for download at actualizefreedom.com/resources. There's going to be a link there with all the show notes and everything as well. Now, some of the common pitfalls that we see, these are like huge, huge pitfalls that, you know, as a new Amazon seller or as someone that's new with sourcing products from China, these are 100% must look at problems. You know, a huge thing is the holidays in China. They are crazy with the holidays, especially with Chinese New Year. This is a time when everyone travels back to their hometown. There's not going to be any production for weeks in time. And, you know, for me, actually, initially, like a few years ago, when I first traveled to China to source my inventory, it was such a horrible experience because I traveled back 2 weeks prior to Chinese New Year. So they're already closing down on all their production. They're not accepting any more orders because they're done for the year. They need to go back home and bring all their money back to their families where, you know, a lot of them live in a rural area. So yeah, this is like a huge no-no because I was literally there for 3 weeks and there was nothing to do because everyone no one was working at that time. It was really, really festive, but I was in China for 3 weeks. There was nothing to do. I was just waiting for people to come back to work. And it was just such a horrible experience for me because I didn't know that there was such a tradition that they take 3 weeks off at the very minimum and that no one was working. So during this period of time, do expect that no communication whatsoever. Do not go there during this time and, you know, just make sure that you pay attention to that. Now, if you're white labeling your products, make sure that your design is very, very important. You know, copyright issues is such a big thing. You know, Amazon do take this stuff very, very seriously. If there's any kind of patent infringement or copyright infringement that you have, they will freeze your account. They will take that product off it. And so be very, very careful when it comes to white labeling and understand if there's going to be any copyright issues.
Yeah. So like some good ways to actually check that is do some basic due diligence with tools like Trademarkia. That's trademarkia.com. You can just type in whatever brand name you're considering using for this product and see if it's trademarked. That's a number one. And you know, copyright can be a complex thing. It can be like copywriting words, copyright for logos and stuff like that. So if you get a swoosh check mark that looks just like Nike's logo, that's infringing. That's infringing on Nike's logo. You don't want to be doing that. So make it original. Do your due diligence. Make sure that your words that you're using are not infringing on anyone's trademarks or anything like that. like that. And also that your design is unique and your own. And, I mean, that's a good idea just for differentiation alone, but it can also get you in legal trouble. So don't do that. And definitely, when suppliers, they say no or they're pushing back on something, don't take no for an answer right away. Chinese suppliers are used to negotiating a lot. So when they say no, definitely give them a little pushback and, you know, try to at least negotiate and find a middle point. And a lot of the time, you can actually still get exactly what you want if you make some kind of other offer that, you know, to find some other creative ways to figure it out. You don't necessarily have to meet them right in the middle. Just keep pushing back and forth. And most of the time you can get a lower price or whatever kind of terms you're actually going for. So, all right, guys, it's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to take action and improve your life. So here are the action steps for this episode. Number one, communicating with suppliers and actually order at least 3 samples from suppliers. So go on Alibaba, actually search for your product and, you know, reach out to them. You know, based on all the stuff that we went over here, make sure you're following all these frameworks. You know, test the questions that we have given and get a feel for yourself how it actually works. You know, this is a longer process. The first couple suppliers you reach out to you are like probably won't be any good, but, you know, get a start and learn the skills of communicating and finding these suppliers, and you'll get a really good start on this.
Yeah. And, you know, lastly, make sure that you don't take no for an answer. You know, at the end of the day, we are in business. We are problem solvers, right? If you take no and you just, you know, if the first sign of trouble and the first sign of a hurdle that arises and you take no for an answer, then you're not going to be able to succeed in this game, right? So make sure that you always challenge them, you know, provide another more creative solution and ask them. And they, majority of the time, they will compromise because they too want your business as much as you want their help, you know. At the end of the day, if you guys like this message that we're sharing, if you like the value that we're providing, or if you have any feedback for us of how we can better improve in delivering and produce a better show, please go and subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. Let us know how we can do better, or let us know if we're actually delivering any value for you. You know, go there, show us some support, and that would mean the world to us.
Totally. I mean, we have fun doing these things, but it's more fun if we're actually helping you guys out. So please let us know. If you guys want to see the show notes, then go check them out at actualizefreedom.com/7. You know, if you're driving or too busy to take the notes, we have done this for you. So thanks for joining us, guys. This has been Actualize Freedom, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Actualize Freedom with Wilson and Danny online at actualizefreedom.com. If you like today's episode, please review and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.